Si règne son maman.
Hey, Salomon.
This choice I made, didn't work out the way I thought it would. This choice I made.
Possession
and it's not easy to understand it, son, and I hope you make it.
Yes.
Happy. It's not easy to understand it, son, and I hope you make it to be happy again.
It was wow, throughout this year. That I just said that is here with us now, Professor Mrs. E.J. Aguilera. You are welcome, man.
Congratulations.
Wow.
To understand it, son, and I hope you make it to be happy.
Reverend Doctor, it's your day.
Don't worry.
It's your day of my Savior.
About it, then.
Your weapons.
Cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Sing it, don't worry.
Of the
about a
of fine and applied art department.
Cause every little thing is gonna be
alright.
Sing it, don't worry.
I'm the staff of the university.
About a thing.
Yeah.
Cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Sing it, don't worry. About a thing. Yeah. It's gonna be alright. Listen, rise up this morning.
All professors
smile to the rising sun.
Three little
shreds, picked by my doorstep, singing sweet songs. The melody's pure and true. Saying, this is my message to you. Sing it, don't worry about a thing. Cause every little thing is gonna be alright. Sing it, don't worry.
Once again,
about a thing.
Yeah.
Every little thing is gonna be alright. Sing it, don't worry. About a thing. Yeah.
Cause
every little thing, it's gonna be alright.
Please be all standing. The procession is here, right in the hall. Thank you. Music department. Music department.
Thank you.
singular honor to humbly invite Professor Emmanuel Sakwe to join our wife on high TV. The national anthem. Reverend Dr. Igbo to give us an open prayer. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Please, you may be seated. I have the mandate of the Vice Chancellor to welcome each and every one of us to this academic gathering, being the third in the series of DESU valedictory lecture. Our dear mommy, Professor Mrs. Mabel Alosakwe, will be delivering this series today. She has entitled a lecture, "I Live As We Live with Adopted Living English, Manifesting Limitless Diatypes." Before going further, may I formally establish protocols. With us today in this hall is our comrade Vice Chancellor, a former chairman of the DESU chapter, a former rector, Delta State Polytechnic Ogbachukwu, and by the grace of God, the Vice Chancellor of the Delta State University. He is Professor Andy Ogbachukwu Egoyega. A round of applause for the Vice Chancellor. Also with us is the Deputy Vice Chancellor of Academics, Professor Ochukwu Onumahara. We also have in our midst here the first female registrar ever produced by this institution, Mrs. R.U. Ufiofio. We also have in our midst the bossa of this great university, Mr. Justice Ebare. Not left out is the University librarian, Professor S.O. Owaifo. We also have in our midst our dear lecturer for the valedictory lecture, Professor Mrs. Mabel I. Osakwe. And of course, the husband is here to give her that love and company, Professor Emma Osakwe. And of course, the university orator is also here. He doubles as the dean of the Faculty of Arts, Professor Sonny Awefiada. We also appreciate the presence of all the professors in the Faculty of Arts. You are all welcome. More specifically, the former Deputy Vice Chancellor Academic, Professor Anigala. You're welcome, sir. We recognize the presence of the deans of faculties here present, directors of academic programs. We have in our midst here the Director for Center, Gender and Development Studies, Professor Mrs. E.J. Egoyega. You're welcome. We appreciate the presence of all professors of this university here present, our dear students, gentlemen of the press, our spiritual fathers, and all that are here to wish our mommy, give her goodwill. We appreciate your presence. At this point, I have the singular honor to humbly invite to the podium the registrar of this great university,
to continue with the proceedings. The registrar, ma'am.
The Vice Chancellor, sir. Other principal officers of the university. Third validatory lecturer, Professor Mrs. I. Osakwe, and her spouse, our daddy, Professor Emma Osakwe. Directors of our academic programs, professors from the Faculty of Arts, deans of faculties, invited guests, ladies and gentlemen. It is my pleasure to welcome you all to the third validatory lecture entitled, I Live As We Live, with Adopted Living English, Manifesting Limitless Diatypes. It is my pleasure to welcome the Vice Chancellor, Professor Andy O. Egwuenga, to constitute the assembly as a congregation for the validatory lecture of the Delta State University, Abraka, and declare same open. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir.
Principal officers of the university, our distinguished third validatory lecturer, Professor Mrs. Mabel Osakwe, and her very youthful husband.
Beautiful looking.
Distinguished members of Senate, distinguished guests here present, other members of staff, and our dear students. It's a very special day because we celebrate one of the originals, one of the pioneers, as she bows out. I'm very happy that she's elegantly seated with her dear husband. Of course, you know they are inseparable. They are a model of how marriage should be. But somebody tried to separate them. Because the husband gave the first validatory lecture of this university. She gave the first validatory lecture. The husband, the wife should have been the second, but somebody became the second, and now the wife is dead. Professor Lamaka gave the second validatory lecture. The way they have been, one would have said that she would immediately be the second, so that they are always together. But that is the type of separation that you can have in academics. It's not at home. We are very proud of this family. And on this note, I constitute this assembly as a congregation for the presentation of the third validatory lecture of Delta State University. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir, please permit me to invite the university orator, Professor Sunny Awifada, for the introduction and citation of the validatory lecturer, Professor Awifada.
Vice Chancellor, sir, principal officers of this university, professors, staff, and students. Professor Mabel Osakwe, a twin baby, was born November 5, 1951, to the Ebenum family of Obiaruku, Delta State of Nigeria. and later married to Iman Osakwe, also an eminent professor. This daughter of Nigeria is a global citizen with ample skills to develop this world and make it a much better place to live in. She creates faith and hope, building incentives for fellow global citizens to look forward to a glorious eternity. She's a senior citizen of Nigeria, having attained 70 years, less 29 days. Most of these years were spent investing in the lives of children and young people, including her own biological children, who are God-fearing professionals as well. Thus, her charity begins at home, as she leads by example. She holds, in addition to her 4 university degrees, 2 advanced level certificates from the University of London and the University of Cambridge. She has taught at all levels of education, primary, secondary, and tertiary. At all levels, her products have had multiplier effects on both knowledge and character building. She is widely published in esteemed national and international journals, publications which show the discipline she professes and its global usefulness. She has also co-authored a book on Christian marriage, Honeymooning in the Home, 2003, with her husband, Professor Iman Osakwe. She is a versatile scholar whose research interest overflows towards collaborative research for Africa development as she explores common grounds between English linguistics and other languages, women's study, sociology, psychology, politics, and mathematics. Her inaugural lecture reveals her mastery of her discipline and her determination to explore and harness the same for development. She was a resource academic on standardization of postgraduate program at with the National Universities Commission, Abuja, in 2008, 2009, and 2010. She has presented many public lectures to turn around professional practices positively, and her many sermons have made positive changes in the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. Her respectful and submissive way of life has enhanced her married life and ministry, where in partnership with her husband, they have helped many marriages to stay intact and by their own example of a stable Christian home, broadened their sphere of influence internationally. As a skillful manager of men and materials, she has recorded ample changes in the university and beyond. Her chairmanship of ASU Delsu First Ethics Committee ...2000, member representing Nigeria on WIFE Research Subcommittee 2000 to 2002, member ASU Delsu Rep on ANPC Academic 2009 to 2011, serving as representative of our colleagues, state government, federal government, and Nigeria in the listed councils and council committees. She's a trustworthy representative who ensures justice and equity in service delivery, including scholarship disbursement to students. This is also recognized and coveted by students and young people beyond those she taught. Her many awards and recognition include Fellow of the Nigeria Academy of Letters, 2017. Nigeria Academy of Letters Public Orator, 2019 to 2021. Most Outstanding Female Academic of Delsu, 2008. Delta State Government Award for Excellence for Fight Against Examination Malpractice, 2003. Midwest Special Female Award, 1974 to 1976. Federal Government of Nigeria Postgraduate Scholarship Award, 1982 to 1985. The British Council Summer School Award, 1988. American Biographical Institute, listing as Women of the Year, 2002. Eti Ika, meaning Good Mother, University of Uyo English Students, 2005. Golden Mother Award, 2016, by Delsu English and Literary Students. Award of Excellence by Delsu English and Literary Students again in 2018. These awards and recognitions show her relevance to national and global development. Professor Mimbelu Sakwe is an optimist, team player, and emphatic counselor. She employs her leadership skills premised on a vision of excellence, high ethical standards of justice and accountability to achieve, change situations, cultivate, and promote best practices. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir, this distinguished lady of letters, world-class scholar, outstanding wife, mother, grandmother, pastor, preacher, and custodian of ethical values. Now public orator, 3 years on. Delsu first professor of English language and second female Delsu professor makes additional significant history today as she mounts the rostrum to deliver her valedictory lecture after 44 years of meritorious service. Finally, Vice Chancellor, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, the valedictory lecturer also taught the university orator and Dean Faculty of Arts as a 100-level student in 1992, University of Benin. I hereby respectfully invite her to man the rostrum as she delivers the third in the series of Delsu's valedictory lecture. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir. Mr. Vice Chancellor, sir. Permit me to dwell and stand on the already comprehensively established protocols. It is indeed my privilege and pleasure to deliver the third in the series of valedictory lectures of Delta State University, Abraka. I want to say that the person who stood between my husband and I is one of our dearest brothers. I recall when we were going out of the country on sabbatical leave, that he gave us his vehicle that took us to the airport in Lagos. He's a very kind man. So he was just a bonding time. I salute you, Professor Aluamaka. I appreciate your company, the company of this audience, the company of this audience at venue and audience virtual. I know a number of my people, including my family, are watching this virtually. I share my Abraka experience 29 days to retirement. This moment is more significant than most of us are aware. Being once a girl child turned lady, scholar, mother and grandmother, and now senior citizen. This time is relevant. For information, I need to contextualize this lecture. Now, I have a very large volume, which I'm wondering how I'm going to put together, because having served this university for 44 years, it's so difficult to miss out some essential things, but I'll try. The lady who stands here is nothing. It's only the grace of God that has brought me this far. I celebrate three things in life. I celebrate Jesus Christ, is number one. I celebrate family, number two. And I celebrate scholarship. Today, scholarship is topping the list, but everything will be interwoven as we go along. Now, my population figures that I looked at. Where is my PowerPoint? I can't use it. Okay, because of the way this place is arranged. So I'll see what I can do. So I thought at least it would be scrolled somewhere so that the audience can see it. Oh, it's on there, but I can't really see it. Yes, thank you. Now, one of the first things I want to do is to appreciate this very moment. I'm here. And I want to see that slide where the population of the world of Nigeria in 1951, when I was born, 1977, when I came to Abraka, and 2021, as I live, I like to see that. Let's see it. I think it's slide four. Okay. I'm not seeing. Okay. So you can see the number of people I joined in this world in 1951 when I came. I didn't even come single. I didn't come single at all. I came double. And that is why at Obiaruku, they call me a G-double. I came after the arrival of four girls in the family. So apparently to have two more was too much. And extended family felt that this is nonsense. The family is being destroyed by populating the place with a girl child. So I was a G-Taiwo, as I would call it, being the first of the twins to arrive. My twin sister, Ejikende, didn't survive it more than 2 years. When I grew up, little did I know that by the time I will be getting to Abraka, that population will double. It won't just double nationally, it will double globally. And everybody knows now by our demographics that one of the easiest spots of the world where babies arrive is Nigeria. So the place has really grown. At the same time, there's been quite some deaths, which generally regulates. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this to underscore the fact that I stand here by God's special grace. I could have gone before now, before I came to Abraka, in the course of living in this place, and during the COVID, which affected many people. I think what I will now do is to go through the outline of this lecture and see how well I can just speak to the PowerPoint, which unfortunately I'm not seeing, and go ahead to read some things that I should read. After the outline, courtesies, preamble, and introduction, I have my reluctant arrival in Abraka and the making of a budding scholar. Then challenges confronting the female academics, my solution pathway, and modest achievements made in Delsu. Before I go on to talk about we living with adopted living English as I live. The relevance of linguistics to nation building is one thing I should have started with. In 1972, there were two very significant changes made in Nigeria that I will always remember. One of it was that we changed from the British way of driving right to taking the left. The other was that we changed from the British pound to the Naira. And all those were to show that we were getting truly independent. We were developing our identity. And there was a question I put forward there. I think it's slide 4. Please, can you read the question if you see it? Somebody read a question for me if you see it, although this is supposed to be a monologue. The question there. Question, slide 4. There. Yes. Why we Nigerians, regardless of the number attached to our Naira, insist it's Naira and not Nairas? 1 Naira, 200 Naira, 1,000 Naira, 1 billion Naira, 3 trillion Naira. I'll give you the answer. That's just a tinge of the contribution of linguists to national building. Linguists submitted that you cannot, we are talking about British pounds, you can't be talking about Nairas, because Naira is a Nigerian word. And almost all Nigerian languages, once the numeral is put there, then you don't need to show anybody that it's more than two. So the supposed plural seemed to be zero there. And whereas English inflects its plural, in that sense, the Nigerian languages don't inflect their plural. The truth is, when I arrived in this place, I should not take my reluctant arrival in this place so I can go quickly to other place. Why did I say it was reluctant? It was reluctant because I kept telling my fiancé then, when he said that God was laying it in his heart to go to Abraka to lecture, I kept reminding him, do you know that Abraka means Obiaruku? And I'm from Obiaruku. I'm not going there. And of course, any young person would think that same way. How can you start a young family right at home with your people? But God did what he will do because he wanted us here. So I'm not like just anybody who applied for a job, saw an advert, applied for a job and came. It wasn't like that. I came here by divine leading. He wanted me to be here, and so I came here. And when I got to this place, there were so many challenges. Housing was one of them. God was very gracious to me. Being a single girl, I had to be accommodated in what is called warden's quarters. If you see Ethiopol, there are some quarters there, one bedroom apartment with toilet in situ, and those were unfurnished. That was where I stayed. And after we got married, because I didn't want to go into town, it's not the Abraka of today, you know. It's the Abraka you could hardly go into town, really, at that time, because there was hardly anywhere you could stay comfortably. But When we got to the hostels, it was good. It was an opportunity to serve the students there. A number of these people we were teaching were married women. And so they had challenges, a number of them pregnant. And they would say, Abel, where this young lecturer? Then when they say, here, may they come carry this person, go hospital. And the hospital at Obiaruku, we were happy to help. But can you guess what time of the day it was? Quite a number of times. 12 midnight, 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Can you try it today? It's impossible. You can't try it today. So that is where we were. These were some of the challenges, but we saw them as stepping stones towards doing a number of things for God. Then the challenge confronting the female academic and the making of a scholar, a promising budding scholar. Quite often, when people come to an establishment such as this, they start and they don't think of mentoring. I want to advise you today. It's not advising time, but I want to advise you to think of mentors and mentoring. Now, for females in particular, the challenges are very, very ample. Human recruitment agencies and human resource managers always recognize that there are five basic areas where women have challenges at work. Motherhood is one of them. But to call motherhood a challenge is possibly to use the wrong word. The other one, some industry-specific biases also calls that. Then pay disparity, and leadership, women being denied the position of leadership. These are some of them, and I think I encountered almost all of them. But being in a university system now, what really makes it easy is that the NUC would always seek a kind of gender balance. So the level of discrimination as it relates to that is not there. Aha, I failed to mention sexual harassment among the challenges facing women in academics. What did I do with motherhood? For me, it wasn't a challenge. For me, or even if it was a challenge, God helped me to tackle that very well. There were times I had to leave my babies sleeping and drive out for lectures, spend about 2 hours of lecture, at times 3 hours. And I begin to feel that my baby is awake. Then I go back and attend to my baby. The whole joy of being a mother and being able to manage my time helped me. And of course, I have this husband who is so God-sent and so very appreciative all the time. On sexual harassment, we came here, we always recognize young people because our ministry is to young people, by the way. Young Nigerian students at Delso, hail. Can you answer me? Hail. You are the treasure of this country, and we don't take you lightly. You are the treasure of this country. And you have to build yourself. Allow God to build you so that you can build this nation. It's very important. You saw some people wearing building tomorrow's leaders today. That's part of what we've been doing. We've been nurturing a group, discipling them, and drawing their attention to a good way of life. Sexual harassment, and some young lecturers just feel that, oh. In fact, some have called it, what is it they call it? They feel that it's part of their incentive working here to just take any girl you like. I'm happy that the nation is awakened to this. I'm particularly happy that this vice chancellor has brought a blueprint which Senate has endorsed to fight this ill, because we can't continue like this. While it was there, these girls will run to us. These are girls who have decided that they will never defile themselves outside wedlock, and you want to compel them to defile themselves. They run to us, and then we pray with them, and by the grace of God, my husband and I always had a win-win situation handling the matter, except very, very few. Don't tell me the details of how we do it, but I know that this will stand as this blueprint has come up. Sexual harassment, I recognize that there are girls who sexually harass young lecturers. And from time to time, I have cautioned them. They harass through their dressing. They harass when they consult young lecturers. They go behind rather than sitting in front. They go behind to hug them and begin to consult from behind. I will tell you to repent. There was a case that I saw that, I think it was an exam malpractice. We were handling a case of exam malpractice, and the chairman of that committee just threw the first question at the girl. And what will the girl do? The girl wanted to rope in the chairman, who I discerned had nothing to do with that case, but she just wanted to get the chairman roped in. I had to tell the chairman to please stay out and let me take over the chairing at that moment so that we can probe him. And we discovered that that was the way we exonerated the chairman. So it's possible for ladies to be the ones offending, and we have to be wise to cancel and to be sure that such things don't put people who are guiltless, you know, into trouble unnecessarily. I was, however, so disappointed when the same chairman became vice chancellor of this university and fought me like a plague. And I was surprised because he ought to have told the wife how I took away that reproach from him. But both of them fought me in a way I've never been fought, for nothing at all. I just pray that when you, usually women will be grateful for such things, but not this. One of the ways I handled some of the challenges affecting women in academics had to do with two young ladies in my department. When I became head of department, I had to counsel them not to go so far. You are now mothers. You can't be coming from the Uyeli axis to lecture in Abraka and then go to either Benin or Ife for a PhD. The family is likely to suffer. And they took to that counsel, happy to announce that one of them had a PhD quite some time ago and is now the acting head of the English department. Speaking of Professor Jite Ojarega. There are many things to say. One of my fears being coming to Abraka got manifested. All our shopping had to be done from Saple. We used to go to Kingsway stores of those days. And then I kept away from Obiaroko because I had this fear of the tradition of women who were almost old enough to be my mom, trying to dig well for me all the time I was in the market. And I say, what kind of tradition is this? And they would tell me, oh, I should give them money. It's market. You are a husband. And I kept running away until I got to understand that it was a tradition they were enjoying. They were simply making fun. So I had to know how to handle it eventually. What are my modest achievements? The orator had said a number of these modest achievements. But let me take you to one of the areas I was particularly happy that I did something for my institution, women and housing. People didn't seem to have realized that when a husband houses the wife. The husband is doing a favor to the wife, not to the university. So there is no reason why you should not pay me my housing allowance. I fought that, made a committee of deprived females. And Professor Madremeze, who was then VC of our days in Ekuma, saw all the points. Four-pronged injustice. My husband does me a favor. You keep the money. You don't give it. You forget that when you give me the money, if my family benefits from it. You also make it impossible when you have abuse within the family for the wife to relocate, at least for a while. So it was real injustice. He saw the case it was made. He recommended it to council. Council approved it. And that was how women started getting their housing allowance. I like that. But it happened without my getting mine. I was one of those that didn't get. So we had to start the fight all over again until finally it came to me. When I was in Benin on sabbatical leave, I met my colleagues and they got to know that we're earning house allowance, living in university quarters with your husband. What happened? And I told them, say, give us the papers. We will also fight for that. And that is how they started theirs. I didn't ask them how they concluded. Another area of service I was particularly happy and felt it was a